Street that particular day. Lou Rawls was there, Carol Valentine, Mahalia Jackson, and quite a few others when we was doing Sesame Street this particular day. Mm-hmm. And the kids that were there, the knee babies as we call them, they didn't think nothing about what was the difference between B.B. King and Mahalia Jackson, only she looked better. Or what was the difference between Lou Rawls or B.B. King? Or
King looked better. To
them, music was music. I know as they would grow older, they would find that they would know that Mahalia Jackson was singing gospel. They would learn that Lou Rawls is a singer that sings blues sometime, but sing anything that he wants. And B.B. King was a blues singer. But my point I'm trying to get over, that they didn't discriminate between us. And to the place of seeing were like, I don't like B.B. King because he sings the down home blues, or I don't like so-and-so because he sings so-and-so, and so, or I dislike gospel because it's... My point I'm trying to say today, if at an early age, one could be exposed to this through radio or through television. See, now, out of all of the many shows on television, there are many, but there is not one blues. I keep saying this, maybe I'm blowing my horn, but I keep saying this because I am a blues singer and I'm here to talk about blues, and I'm trying to let people know where I think it should be. I think it should be on the library with all other types of music. I don't think it should be on the hearing, you know. And on television, if you think I'm kidding, you watch your shows and you won't find one blues show on television. But you'll find maybe a B.B. King from time to time on some of the pop shows, or popular shows. You'll find maybe Albert King or Muddy Waters, maybe. But the rest of the giants, I think, are in the business. You never even hear from them. And I bet you, if you have children, they don't even know about them. They may look at one of the Johnson publications or something. I can see the name of a few, but that's all. And you're not going to find that too much. So this, to me, I think is a thing that's very much so needed. And when I think in terms of, Afro-American or Afro studies of some kind, I think that our people need to know much more about it. Much more about it.
How come you got out of the radio business? Was it due to your singing career became too heavy at that time, or did you feel that this whole pop thing was going to come down and that you really didn't dig it? You know.
No, I was hungry.
They were starving you.
Yes. But I didn't think then, as I think now, about how important this is to the people. I was thinking then about how far I could go in popularity, and thinking that I wanted everybody in the world to hear what I was doing. I really didn't think so much about the money. If I had, I guess I'd have quit exactly 27 and a half years ago. But I was thinking that I did have something. Believe it or not, I still think I do. I think I have something that's important to say to people. I also think that I have something that one should hear. And I think that since the people have been so nice to me through the years, as well as some haven't, but allowing me to keep doing what I'm doing, and I think that this has opened the way and has opened doors for people that will come along behind me. Like one of the students asked me over in the class over there today and said, what do I think of the younger people since you've passed on, you know? So, it was funny. But I haven't quite left yet, you know, so.
Well, premature. There's nothing like the arrogance of a young.
Have you been singing all your life?
Yes. Yes.
Where do you remember singing first?
In church with my mother. I must have been about 4 years old. And at that time, we was near Itabena. And there was a church there that my mother was a member of, and she used to carry me to sing with her, and that's the first place I can remember singing.
Did she sing the blues?
No, spirituals.
Spirituals. <Yeah. laughs> How? Where did you get the blues? Where did you find the blues?
I had one of those little devilish aunts. She was a teenager, you know, and she had her favorites like Lemon Jefferson, Lionel Jones, right. And people like that. So I liked her. I was very crazy about her because she seemed to, as the kids say today, know what was happening. And when I was around her, like a record player, phonograph, we called them Victrolas at that time. Mm-hmm. And if I was a good boy, she'd let me play it. And in fact, she must have been, 17 or 18 years old, maybe. And I, at that time, was like 5 or 6 and felt that I was, you know, as old as she was. You know. But she was more like my big sister to me. I didn't have, at that time, sisters or brother. And if I was a good boy, she'd let me play it and play the favorite records that she liked. And that's how I actually got introduced to it. But there were many people in the Delta, as well as in the hills when I moved up there, say like on Wednesday nights, they would go from house to sing because there was nothing else going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The merchants in the little town of Kilmichael, like once a week would show a free movie, that is to try to bring people together. They would just get out, and they didn't have a park, but it was just a place where people hired their horses and things, and they would show this movie, a free movie, maybe about an hour, I guess now when I think about it. And that was the only other entertainment that we had except Saturday nights. Now, don't ask me about Saturday nights. but that was all. No, I'm serious.
Yes,
to a lot of people, today this would mean nothing, but it meant all in the world to us. And the only other way that we had of kind of getting together and enjoying ourselves was to go from house to house and sing during the week. Like Monday night, maybe go to your house, and Friday night, maybe to yours. And we just keep on until we go through the whole little community like that. But it was a kind of togetherness that made things kind of like I found it to be in Africa when I was over there. If you went to some of the villages, this is one other thing I found that I liked so much. If you go to one of the villages, if something happened to you and you had children, you, me, we would raise these children the same way that we would also take care of these children if you were alive. In other words, if you go over here, the same respect that they had for you here. I mean, the family, this togetherness, tightness of family was one thing that we had in that area, which I think is needed even today, the feeling, as I said earlier, about a human being. You know, in other words, one would stop and pick the other one up. And this is the feeling that I grew up with. And believe it or not, I can't lose it. Mm-hmm. Not that I would want to, but I can't lose it. It would hurt me to see anybody else hurt in some way, whatever this might be. And that was the one thing that I think I learned. Mm-hmm.
What kind of dance style did you learn when you were beginning to sing the blues?
What
dance styles?
Dance?
Right.
Believe it or not, none. I still don't dance. But seeing people dance, at that time, jitterbug was the thing. When I was growing up, jitterbug or the foxtrot, as they say. But I can't even walk, so. But watching others, I like to see other people dance. I learned, though, to play. In a way, when I tried to play dance music, that I felt would fit what I saw people doing. My son's dance and a few of the other people in the family, but I don't.
At these get-togethers in Kilmichael, were there instruments? You said you would get together to sing, and what kind of instruments did you have?
Usually in the average home, there was an old piece of guitar with strings broken on it. And in order to play this guitar, we would make wooden clamps. Okay. We would take this wooden clamp and put on it because the string is broken up here. Am I making any sense?
Yeah, you are making sense.
All right. So we put this clamp down below where we had the string tied, and that would make the string be good from there all the way up.
Right. Yeah.
So that's what we would use. And a lot of time we use wire, the kind like this broom wire again we went to, and you'd use that for the other part, for the top part of the string.
Yeah, are the conditions you described in your childhood where people would get together and make their own music and entertainment, does that still survive, or is, say, the TV and mass media pretty much force
yeah,
that
I don't
out?
I don't think it happens now. I don't think. TV has taken over. Yes, to the people that can afford them. A lot of the people down there maybe bunch up to one's house that could afford a TV. Everybody in the area where I grew up don't have them. Like when I was growing up, everybody didn't have radios. As I said in class over there this morning, only the what we call well-to-do had the radios. And why was he well-to-do? Because he could afford a radio. That's another reason why I keep pushing and talking about this blue show being on television. So if they happen to bunch up over to somebody's house, like to see a fight on television or see Soul Train, they could probably bunch up and see the blues or listen to it. Yes.
When did you and Lucille first hook up?
Oh. Now I know I won't get married again. Let's see. I have to tell my age. As I mentioned earlier, my mother started me singing in church with her when I was 4 or 5. Well, I guess about 9 or 10, they had a new so-called denomination called Church of God in Christ in the area. And the preacher played electric guitar. And that did it. Yeah, and this preacher happened to be a brother-in-law to my uncle. I say that sometimes, and say it again. I have to get it in here myself. In other words, my preacher was married to the my uncle was married to the preacher's sister. And usually he would come over to our home on a Sunday afternoon after church to have dinner, and usually he would lay his guitar on the bed. And when they closed the door to go and eat, that's when I'd hop into bed. And one day he caught me. So he didn't ball me out like I expected him to. But he showed me 3 chords on it, and I still use those 3 chords today. But that's how I think I got started into it. And it seemed like to me it sounds so good. I'd never heard anything sound like that. But now that was spiritual. And to me, today, the sanctified people are the singingest people in the world. I know that may sound weird, but I think many people can sing. But to me, they are the singingest people in the world. But after hearing this sound in church, one day in early 40s, about 40 or 41 during the war, Second World War, there was a sound I heard by a guy called T-Bone Walker. And that was the first time I'd ever heard blues on electric guitar. And that was T-Bone Walker singing Stormy Monday. And I just felt like I'd die if I didn't get me electric guitar after that. So that's what really got me interested in electric guitar. And in 46, I managed to get one. Of course, I'd owned the guitar before that, but not electric.
Band that you have behind you now, how did you go about hooking them up? Because I noticed they're all pretty good, all the musicians.
Well, thank you. My name is known pretty well now in the music.
This is what is known as understatement.
Well, so each city we play, usually some musician in that city or town or wherever, will say, like, if you need a flute player or if you need whatever, I would like to work with you. And this is my address. So we usually take the address. And if I need this instrument or need this person or figure that I should add it, however, I usually will notify him. Or if somebody leaves the band for some reason or another, I will notify this person. I'll give him 2 weeks' work with me, with pay. And that is so, if this person like me and the kind of music, well, they already familiar with my music, but if they like me and they play like, you know, if they feel free doing, you know, working with me, and I like them equally as well, then they've got a job. But if they don't like me, well, then he had 2 weeks with pay, or if I don't like him, it's 2 weeks with pay. So that's the way we usually keep the band going. And it's, you know, it's no hard feelings really like that, because the first 2 weeks is, you know, a trial.
Do you remember your first?
The story on how Lucille got her name. Is it true?
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
Do you remember your first commercial engagement?
Yes.